About Menschenrechte, der Amnesty München Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to a new episode of the Amnesty München Podcast. Let's talk about Menschenrechte. My name is Annalena and with me hosting is Francis.
Hi.
With us here today is Hannah, a North Korean defector, and we're going to be talking about her defection from North Korea and the current human rights situation in North Korea. Hi, Hannah. It's nice to meet you, and it's great to have you here today.
Okay. Hi, nice to meet you too.
So, also, thank you for coming from my side. Let's get right into the questions. If you could just maybe introduce yourself in the beginning with a few sentences. Who are you? How old are you? What do you do?
Okay, my name is Hana. I am 28 years old. I am a nurse.
Nice. So obviously your story is about your escape from North Korea and now living in South Korea. But let's dive first into what your life was living in North Korea. If you could just tell us a little bit more about this. What did you do in North Korea? What was your life like? Just a few information about that.
Okay. When I was in North Korea, I was a merchant. So I had my own business. Also, at the same time, I was a student from a small college. But in North Korea, if you pay money, you don't have to go to the university. So as I recognized that even though I graduated the college, it's very hard to get a job in North Korea to make money. So I just paid money at the school instead of attending the class. And then I had my own business.
That's really interesting. So was it a business that you built up or was it like a family business? What does this business look like?
It's like family business. My mom, she started the business from 1994 when Kim Il-sung passed away. So it's from her business.
Is it unusual to have your own business in North Korea, or is it something that many people have, like your classmates, that their parents or that they also run businesses, or was this just some employmentship that they had?
If you have money, then you can run your own business in North Korea. As long as it's not illegal, then the government do not touch. So you can do it.
So you ran your own business and you went to this small university, you said. But then at what point did you decide that you want to go? What made you want to leave the country that you lived in and that your family lived in?
I mean, what was the reason to defect North Korea?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Actually, I didn't like the government since I was middle school student. I could see the difference between North Korea and the other countries with democracy. As I had the chance to watch movies and media from China and South Korea and America as well, it showed me that North Korea is very isolated and the government do not provide freedom to people. So it's against the government. The reason why I left North Korea.
That's understandable. How did you get your hands on the media from different countries? Because I imagine this is not seen by the government as something that people should watch. So how did you get on this?
It's not hard to borrow, you know, the CD or MP3. Some businessmen sell the media at the market, but it's illegal, so publicly they cannot sell it. But just few people know who sell the media. I could buy, and also I could borrow them from friends, so we can exchange it, like we can change it, the media. Among friends.
So we were trading cards and you were trading media back then.
That's really, right.
Really interesting. So would you say that media was the main reason, media from other countries was the main reason that you realized that you don't want to be in North Korea and that North Korea is not the place you want to be compared to maybe South Korea or China?
It's not the only one which impact my decision, impact on my decision. There was a really good opportunity for me to make the decision to leave North Korea. It's from my aunt who had the chance to go to China 3 times legally for her business. Each time when she came back to North Korea, told me that the truth between North Korea and China, also the countries outside North Korea. It was very trustful. When I watched the movies, it was very attractive, but on the other hand, we think movies show only the good things.
Mm.
It doesn't show any like a bad or...
Bad sides.
Yeah, yeah. So I couldn't believe all, but when my aunt, she explained me the situation outside of North Korea, it was very, very trustful, like, because she's my relative and she saw the difference in person she experienced. So yeah, it was, I think, the main influence,
for
motivation, like, to make the decision.
Okay, so on the one hand, it was media, but you weren't sure if it's all true. And then you had the experience from a close family member. And
yes.
Then she told you about their experiences in China. Really interesting. Yes. And then at what age did you decide you want to leave North Korea?
Actually, when I was 15, it was the first time I decided to escape North Korea. Actually, I tried it, but I didn't make it.
Okay, so you had a first attempt when you were 15?
Mm-hmm.
And how did that go? How were you stopped from escaping?
As my hometown is located near the border between China and North Korea. So there were many people who did human trafficking.
Mm.
And also there are many people who go to China illegally, like, to make money. So near my hometown, I found a guy who looked like he has the business partnership with Chinese people. So I found him and then I asked him, help me escape North Korea. And I gave him money at the time. So he said, okay, I will help you. And I followed him one night. It was very dark. And he brought me near the border, like the border is River Tuman. So he brought me to River Tuman and I was going to cross the river. But at the time, as I was only 15, like international age, it was 13. At the time, I thought like, if I cross this border now, this river, then I can come back to my home again. It means I cannot see my parents forever. So I changed my mind and I told him, no, I want to go back home. It was the first trying.
Yeah, but 15 is still really young. So I think it's quite understandable. You didn't want to leave your family forever, like literally forever.
Mm.
So then you had a second attempt and then this time you went through with it, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How old were you when you did your second attempt?
The success. 20 years old.
20 years. So you left North Korea at 20 years old?
Yeah, when I was 20 years old.
Can you tell us a little bit more how you escaped and how about the journey out of North Korea?
Okay. At the time, as time passed, the leader of North Korea changed. So Kim Jong-un became a president. He first, the soldiers guarding the border make more strict who, you know, guard the border, like to make strict rule to catch people escaping North Korea. And also Kim Jong-un told them that if you find anyone crossing the river, just shot them. So many people disappeared who were brokers. They disappeared. I think most of them left North Korea. Oh, and many people also was imprisoned. So I couldn't find anyone who can help me. At the time, many North Koreans who came to South Korea could come by the help from South Korea. But as I didn't have any relatives who came to South Korea first, so I couldn't find the broker and I decided to escape just by myself. One day I, the day when I went, when I wanted to escape North Korea, I just went to the mountain. The river Tuman is between my hometown and China, so it's rural. My hometown is rural, so there are so many mountains. So I just went to the mountain to hide. Then at around 2 a.m., it was very dark, and it was a raining night, so really it was really dark. Mm. And around 2 a.m., I thought like, oh, okay, the soldiers around the border would sleep now, so I just have to go now. And then I approached it to the river, and then across. The river was really deep, deeper than I expected, because it was raining, so I was floated. Thankfully, like, I arrived to China safely, and then I found taxis. There are many taxis near the in China. We call that Korean names Yeonbyeon, like where Chinese Koreans live. So the taxi drivers were Chinese Korean, and they could speak Korean as well. So I stopped at one taxi and then asked the driver to help me, saying, I really wanted to go South Korea, but I don't know how to go, so could you help me? And he told me that, I don't know how to help you, but if you go to the church, there are nice people, so as well as you are honest, they will help you. So would you like to go there? And I said yes, because I didn't have any person who can help me. So I followed him. And then he brought me to the huge Chinese Korean church. At the church, I met really nice people, and they helped me to come to South Korea.
That's really interesting. What a journey. So you knew that the border was guarded with by soldiers, but in this moment you just took all the bravery you could find, yeah, and just hope that they wouldn't see you. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think thanks to the weather, it was really rainy, okay, and dark. So you
thought this might be the right day, so they don't see you because it was really too dark.
Yes.
Okay, but still a great risk, though. Did your family know about your escape? Did they know that you were going to leave?
No, I couldn't tell them about my decision. When I first made the decision to escape North Korea, I talked to my parents, saying it's a joke, but what if I go to South Korea and send you guys money? Then you don't have to work hard. My parents were shocked, and then my dad replied, if you tell us that again, then we'll not allow you go out. So I just believed that they will disagree with my decision, so I didn't tell them. Also, there is one more reason. If my parents, they knew that I left North Korea, then they might have been dangerous by the government, because the government, they tested my parents 2 times after I left North Korea.
So there would have been punishments if they would have known and didn't stop you, right?
That's right.
And what do you think were the main reasons for them not you not wanting to go? Were they afraid that you were gonna get shot? Because they probably also heard the stories that your aunt told you, so they knew what it's like outside of North Korea. So why did they want to stop you? What were their interests? So what do you think were the main reasons why your parents said you can't go?
That's a really interesting question. I think they have been brainwashed by the government. Mm-hmm. So they believe what the government mentions. All the news and newspapers, books in North Korea say North Korean government is the best one in the world. Yeah. And they make people provide people the best benefit and happiness in the world. I think my parents, as they have been, they have lived there more than 50 years. So they have been absolutely, I think, brainwashed. So when I told them my decision a little bit, like they told me, their reaction was like, you shouldn't make any decision against the government, something like that was their reaction.
So you believe that it was probably because of the propaganda and the media in North Korea that they thought North Korean government is the best and that you shouldn't leave the country, right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, really interesting getting to know about your journey out of North Korea. I think Annalena has more questions about what happened to you when you went to China and South Korea.
So you managed eventually to defect North Korea. At what age did you arrive in South Korea?
When I was, Korean age was 22 and international age was 20. So at the same year, I arrived in South Korea.
Okay. What was the procedure like in South Korea? Like what happened to you first when you arrived?
In South Korea, the procedure is there are two steps before we came out the society. So first one is called 국정원. Have you heard about it?
Yeah.
And the second one is 하나원. So each step requires 3 months to stay there. So total it was about 6 months. And then we can come out of the society. Also in Wichi province, they have 2 weeks of program for defectors as soon as we came out of the system. So, and then we have freedom.
Wow. And after the two-week program, do you still get some aid from the government to integrate into society? And
Yes, the government supports, they support not pension, but similar thing, like we call that.
Is it like a monthly payment?
Oh yeah, that's right. Monthly payment. About 500,000 won, Korean won, for each month. But it's about the health for 6 months. So after 6 months, then we have to make money.
Okay.
And for students who wanna study, the government, they keep providing the support until they graduate universities.
That's awesome to hear. So for the listeners, 500,000 won is about 350 euros. Okay, and then you decided to start your studies here and you got some support from the government as well. That's awesome.
Yeah, they provide a tuition fee as well for defectors. Also they give us worldship house for defectors, but it's not our home. It's a monthly payment, rent house, something like that.
Okay.
But as well as, unless we forgive the house, we can stay here. We can live here forever.
Okay.
As well as we pay money monthly.
Okay. So when you arrived in South Korea, what's the like first difference you experienced? What do you remember?
The big difference was that there are so many news and information which are useful for you, but you have to search them on the website, which is quite different compared to North Korea. We don't have internet in North Korea, so I haven't heard about the website, Naver, Google, something like that. So I didn't know about it actually. So it was very shock for me.
Was it difficult to suddenly be confronted with so many information?
Yeah,
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's very difficult because at the first time, if defectors are like me who just escaped from North Korea without the period of staying in China, then they not used to the internet, something like. At the first time, I even don't know which words I should type to find information. So it's hard. It was hard for me, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. So did you in North Korea possess a phone? Did you have a phone?
No, I didn't.
No. And then in China, did you get confronted with the internet already or not?
No.
Okay. So it was your first experience in South Korea?
Yes.
Okay. So what kind of difference did you feel about the human interaction? So how did people behave towards you?
I think like South Koreans, they treat people differently according to their home country. If you are from Western countries and you are white people, then South Koreans treat you very well, like very hospitalized. But if you are from underdeveloped countries, then they tend to treat you like not well, really. And so when I first came to South Korea, I felt there is discrimination for defectors, because when I went to a market, people asked me, the owner and the owner asked me like, where are you from? Something like that. Your pronunciation and accent sounds like Chinese Korean. So I tried to avoid asking about the questions, because if they know that I am from North Korea, then they might treat me differently. Mm-hmm. Because when I was going to have a part-time job from the restaurant owner said, cannot give you the chance because you are from North Korea. Your pronunciation is different. So people might not think my restaurant is hospitalized. So I felt discrimination. And so as possible as I could avoid, I am from North Korea, I tried to avoid to say directly about my home country.
Wow, that's really harsh to hear. That's like also kind of weird to hear, because North Korea and South Korea, they are ethnically from the same people. So I mean, they're still like families living apart. One side is living in North Korea and one side is living in South Korea. So it's quite shocking to hear that there is this kind of discrimination against
Korea. Yeah, a lot in South Korea, actually.
Do you still feel that kind of discrimination, or do you just, it's better now?
No, I have tried a lot to change my accent and pronunciation as well. So people do not recognize my pronunciation is different. Mm-hmm. So nobody asks me about that. So, okay. But if I just open about my identity, then they will may change their perspectives or something. So I don't want to say that I am from North Korea.
Okay. Yeah. So you avoid.
Yeah, I want to hide it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you arrived in South Korea, South Korea is democracy. It's a very free country. What are the kind of freedoms that you experienced here in South Korea that you didn't have in North Korea?
The biggest one is that there's no limitation, no any fashion code in South Korea. In North Korea, there are so many limitations about your clothes as well. So you cannot wear any jeans and mini skirt.
Wow, okay. So when you arrived in South Korea and so, oh, you already knew a lot of that because of the dramas you watched, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's allowed here in South Korea.
Yeah.
So apart from that, is there any other freedom that you are enjoying here in South Korea that you didn't enjoy in North Korea?
The biggest one is about the traveling. In North Korea, you cannot go outside countries.
Mm-hmm.
But in South Korea, you can go anywhere except of North Korea. So,
So did you, after arriving here in South Korea, did you get the South Korean passport?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. That's nice. So you can travel to other countries. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're working as a nurse at the moment in South Korea. If you look back, are you happy about your defection? And are you glad that you defected? Or is there something that you miss about North Korea? Or do you have any regrets about defecting?
I don't regret about my decision. But the biggest one is that I miss is that my parents.
Mm-hmm.
because they still live in North Korea. So when I have difficulties and when it's like traditional holiday, such as Chuseok, you know, when it's my birthday and New Year, when I'm sick, like I really miss my parents. And during that time, sometimes I think like, oh, if I go back to the past, then I might not live with my parents. But no, I'm joking. I don't regret.
Okay. Do you have any possibility or opportunity to be in contact with your parents?
I contact my parents. I keep in touch with them.
Oh, you do? Okay. Over the phone?
Yes, over the phone.
Okay. So your parents, they have a phone? And
no.
No?
They don't, but there are brokers in North Korea who have Chinese phone. So they make money to connect my parents to me by the phone. If I want to talk to them, then I can text message to the broker. Could you bring my parents? And then the broker bring my parents to the mountain where the government do not catch the connection.
Okay, and that's probably only possible because where you live is close to the border to China, right? So it's easier to connect to the network.
I think so, yeah.
That's good to hear. And in South Korea, do you like living here? Like, were you able to, I mean, you obviously, you went to university, you graduated, you're working now, which is really, really nice to hear. And you probably also found people you can surround yourself with. So you're like right now you're happy and enjoying life.
Yeah, I do. But I wanted to leave South Korea maybe in a few years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is it because of the discrimination you're facing here?
It could be one of the reasons. Even though I tend to be a South Korean by changing my accent, you know. But I'm a North Korean, so in South Korea, like even though I'm a Korean, sometimes I feel uncomfortable, like when people recognize that I am from North Korea. So it's one of the reasons.
So do you already know where you would want to go?
Yeah, America.
America. Does the age of the person you're talking to affect the way they view you or the way they react if they find out that you're North Korean? So for example, older people, are they more welcoming or are they more hostile towards you?
Maybe younger are more like welcoming, I think.
More welcoming?
Yeah, youth will more welcome me. I think the elderly, because they, some of them, not everyone, but some of them do not like North Korea. So also they don't like dictators. Some of my friends from North Korea who had South Korean boyfriends, they had to break up due to the family power. The South Korean parents didn't like to meet North Korean girlfriends, so they had to break up. There are many cases like that.
So they didn't approve of their son dating or their daughter dating a North Korean. So you told us about the difficulties you're facing in South Korean society. Do you think there's any way that this can be improved? And if so, what could be ways to improve how South Koreans look at North Korean defectors?
That's very hard question to answer. The South Koreans, I think there are many, you know, more than 200 countries in the world. But I think South Koreans, they are not yet open to foreigners and people from different countries yet. Because Korea was like only one peninsula. So nowadays, many people from different countries visit, you know, and South Korea and living in South Korea. But still people, especially elders, they don't have open mind towards others. So I don't know, how can we change their beliefs and perspectives towards.
So So maybe the younger generation, if they are like more open and they are more interacting with other cultures and also with more North Koreans, maybe that can improve.
I think, yeah, there are more chance to improve among the youths, because when I went to university, you know, I spent time with the youths, right? I opened my identity and they were not really surprised, you know, like they said, oh, you're from North Korea. Like, and they asked me some questions and then just we became a friends, you know, like we didn't, they were shown that they even don't remember that I am from North Korea. So I think maybe spending time with defectors, I think would improve their perspectives or stereotype.
Really interesting. Well, this was already our last question for the first part of this series. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for answering all our questions and telling us about your stories. And also thank you to the listeners. And then until next time for the second part. Thank you.
Musik, Jakob von Lauer-Münchhofen.